fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
A wonderful Wednesday to you. So glad that you're with me on the program. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. 1-888-914-9149 is the toll-free line to call. The People Show, the Cale Clark Show, 888-914-9149. You can also email the program, Cale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com. Great place to ask your questions. Give me some show ideas, stuff you want to hear about. And you can also follow us on Twitter. My personal handle is at Cale Clark, and the show handle at Cale Clark Show. And you're going to want to check that out right now because there's a very interesting poll that producer Lucas has put up, and it has to do with the first item of business today. We're going to talk about some other fun stuff later. Jesus and the Messianic Apocalypse. That sounds pretty scary, but don't be afraid. Fear not. Fear not. Every time an angel says that in the Bible, no one ever listens. Everyone always freaks out, but trust me, this is not that scary. It's actually pretty cool. Jesus and the Messianic Apocalypse, going to talk about that later. But first, this little segment here is, it kind of has to come with a warning label, and I hate to do this. Don't worry, there's nothing salacious is gonna pop up here. This is a family program. But because it is a family program, I need to warn all the moms and dads out there that we're going to have a discussion about jolly old Saint Nick. And there's a New York Times article. So this thing, I heard about this a couple days ago, but I figured I had to deal with it because it's now gone completely viral all over the world. An Italian bishop had some interesting things to say to kids about good old Saint Nicholas, Santa Claus. And depending on where you come down on this, and you're going to want to check out the poll on our Twitter account, at Cale Clark Show. Check it out. You'll see what I'm going to talk about. But I don't want to spill the beans quite yet, because I know that parents, and this is part of the story, parents really come down on in different places with respect to this question. So if you do have little ones with you, you might want to turn on your Bluetooth headphones, or you know, go into another room, or have them go into another room. I'm going to give you some time. I'm going to give you a few seconds to you know, shoo the little ones out for a moment. Or if you can't do that, if you're in the car with your family, maybe you're picking your kids up from school, maybe you're out on the West Coast, and you can't do that right now. I hate to lose listeners, but I don't want to be accused of being the Grinch who stole Christmas. Okay, so I can't live with that. I can't live with that handle. So we're going to give you a 10-second countdown to lift get off, the little ones out of sight. Here we go.
10 seconds. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have ignition.
All right.
That may or may not have been from SpaceX, Cale.
That may or may not have been from SpaceX. Maybe it was from Santa's sleigh. Maybe it is rocket equipped by Elon Musk, Time Magazine's Person of the Year. I'll talk about that another time. But okay, so ye have been fairly warned. So we can now proceed. So Jason Horowitz, whose last name starts with H-O, so ho-ho-ho, he has a ho-ho-ho horrible story, which would be horrible to some, about something that happened in Italy, writing for the New York Times. New York Times has had some very interesting pieces on religion in recent days. It's been fascinating to see some of the stuff they've been talking about recently. But there was an Italian bishop that had some rather harsh things to say to some kids. And this was in Sicily. Perhaps you come from a Sicilian background yourself. And there's some school kids who were supposed to gather in a church. And the church was the parish of St. Salvatore. It's actually the St. Salvatore Basilica, and they were gathering in the church, a bunch of little kids, and Santa Claus himself, or at least someone playing the role of Santa Claus, was to roll up to the church in his sleigh, on horseback, with his robe, carrying a bag full of gifts. But before the Santa Claus character showed up, Bishop Antonio Stagliano had a chance to address the children. And he started off by saying this, and this is the part where if you have kids listening, little kids, you're going to want to cover their ears. This is what he said. Santa Claus, quote, is an imaginary character, end of quote. And you can imagine the children were aghast. Their eyes widened, their jaws hit the floor. And the bishop kind of was on a roll, and he kind of kept going here. He actually said, quote, the red color of his coat was actually chosen by Coca-Cola for advertising purposes. Big Soda was behind all of this, apparently. And Coca-Cola wanted to use the image of Santa Claus in order to depict itself as an emblem of healthy values, end of quote. So it doesn't seem like this bishop, the Bishop of Noto in Sicily, Antonio Stagliano, producer Lucas, I don't think he'd probably be very fond of the Cale Clark Show because we do drink a lot of caffeinated beverages on this program.
Yeah, that's true.
And we don't discriminate between the red guys and the blue guys, between Coke and Pepsi. Although part of me wants to move to the States full time just so I can get an unlimited supply of Mr. Pibb. That's a pretty underrated. Anyways, we're getting a little bit off track here. But anyways, is Coca-Cola behind the red robe of Santa Claus? We'll answer that question in just a few minutes. That's a burning question, I know. Anyways, apparently in Italy, Santa Claus is known as Babbo Natale. And for all you listeners out there from an Italian background, I apologize for butchering that pronunciation, which I, in all likelihood, did.
Babbo Natale.
Hey, wow, Lucas, you actually had audio of Babbo Natale. Well, so it's not too bad.
That was from the movie The Santa Claus with Tim Allen.
Oh,
one of my
really?
Favorite Christmas movies.
Oh, okay.
Hilarious.
We'll have to do a Christmas movie segment on the show coming up. I've never seen that one. But anyway, so that is Babbo Natale is what Father Christmas is called in Italy. And this is not the first time in recent memory that this controversy has come to the fore. Back in 2019, a priest in the town of Magliano Alpi, which is a northern town in Italy, he told kids in his parish that there was no man dressed in red who, quote-unquote, magically delivered gifts. The year prior to that, in 2018, in the city of Quartu Sant'Elena, another priest drew all kinds of tears from the children in the parish by... He actually told them that Santa Claus was actually their mom and dad, their mom and or dad. And that did not go over well. But apparently, according to one of the teachers who brought the kids to this event, by the way, this took place on the feast day of St. Nicholas on December the 6th, which we celebrated here just a few days ago. When these kids came to St. Salvatore Basilica in Sicily, some teachers were there with the kids. And according to one of the teachers that was present, apparently, this is what the bishop said, that one of the kids apparently tried to protest the homily. Right? And said, hey, Your Excellency, this is not the case. My parents have told me, they have assured me that Santa is real. That's what the kid said to the bishop, allegedly. And apparently the bishop replied to this child by saying, you need to go home and tell your parents that they are liars. You can't handle the truth. It's kind of like Nathan Jessup from A Few Good Men. And so Bishop Stagliano was actually interviewed after the fact, and he said he never said that. He said that that's not how he said. He did answer the child's question, but it was a lot more tactful than that. And then he apparently went on to give an explanation of St. Nicholas. And of course, on his feast day, which we just celebrated on the 6th, we know that he was the 4th century Bishop of Myra, which is in modern day Turkey, looked after the poor. And here's another quote from the bishop from his homily to the children. Is Father Christmas everyone's father or just some? In the lockdown, Father Christmas didn't visit the families that he used to. And he's talking about the poor. He was talking about migrants. He was saying, well, you know, if he's real, why isn't he visiting these kids? And so he went on to say this, that there was a time long ago when Italian children would address their Christmas wish lists to the baby Jesus. They would ask the baby Jesus to give them certain gifts, not Santa Claus, not the reindeer. And the bishop said, it wasn't about that. It wasn't about let's go to the movies and go bowling and all this American junk, end of quote. Hey, no offense taken. I love bowling. Who doesn't love bowling? Come on, man. Other than the shoes, you know, you just got to spray with that stuff. I should probably get some of that for my own shoes. But what's wrong with bowling? It's not junk. Come on. Anyways. So that's what's going on here. And so this is the question that we wanted to ask. And again, if you have kids listening, hopefully they're not listening anymore. We asked the question in the Twitter poll that we put out on our show account at Cale Clark Show. Do you have to get rid of Santa? Do you have to take Santa out of Christmas in order to keep Christ in Christmas? Yes or no? And so far, the results are, it's a pretty polarizing question. Producer Lucas, what are the latest stats from the poll?
So 57% are saying that no, Santa does not have to be kept out of Christmas in order for Christ to be kept in, but 42% are saying 42%. Yes. So it's
pretty tight.
Yeah.
It's pretty tight. And I think things are going to fluctuate as we go through the program. So you can go on the Twitter account there for the show at Cale Clark Show and check it out. And you can vote. You can make your voice be heard, or you can call in 888-914-9149. I'm very curious to see how you handled this as a parent, or how you are handling this as a parent. How do you handle the Santa question? I'm a parent too of a young child, and I'm kind of asking that question myself. And how did you experience this growing up? How did this affect you? It's kind of personal for me in a certain sense, because this did have some impact on the way I viewed the Catholic faith when I was growing up. I'll explain that later. I'll tell you a little bit about my story, but I want to hear your story. I want to hear what you think about this. Do you have to keep Santa out of Christmas to keep Christ in Christmas? Was this bishop right? Antonio Stagliano, the bishop of Noto in Sicily, in Italy, or can they somehow coexist? Is it a both-and situation? How do you deal with that? So what was your experience like this, about this growing up? How did you experience this? What did you think? I want to hear from you on the Cale Clark Show, 888-914-9149. So the article in the New York Times talks about a lot of other things as well. But yeah, this bishop really had an issue with the whole concept. Bishop Stagliano also said, "With all due respect, Santa Claus only brings gifts to those who have money, whether the children are naughty or nice. Poor families he visits every Christmas have never seen Santa Claus." So he told the kids that were in the church that day, "Hey, if you see Santa Claus on Christmas Eve, ask him to go visit the poor kids too. Give them some gifts as well. How come he never visits them?" Anyways, according to the bishop, he claims that a kid actually stood up in the homily and said, "I knew it. I knew it. I always knew my dad was Santa Claus." So there you have it.
I've always known.
Somehow he always knew. And it turns out he was prophetic. By the way, where does the name Santa Claus come from? You might know this already, but in case you don't, it's kind of an interesting factoid. So St. Nicholas, as you know, was the bishop of Myra, 4th century. He was known to be very kind to children. He used to give gold coins away, very famously gave gold coins away, according to tradition, to three poor sisters who were thinking about turning to a life of, well, a sordid way of life in order to, let's put it that way, in order to support themselves. And St. Nicholas came to their rescue, eventually became a patron saint of children. He's also the patron saint of Russia, apparently. And a lot of Russians do still go to the southern Italian city of Bari, where his relics are located. That's why sometimes he's called St. Nicholas of Bari, B-A-R-I. And eventually this tradition of St. Nicholas spread to the north. And the Dutch, I have a lot of Dutch friends. They're always teasing me. They're always saying, "If you're not Dutch, you're not much." I take it with a grain of salt, but it's always good fun, good ribbing. Anyway, so the Dutch called him Sinterklaas, which is a way of saying St. Nicholas in Dutch, Sinterklaas. And as you know, a lot of Dutch settlers came to where else? New York City, Manhattan. It was called New Amsterdam at the time, before it became New York. And as English speakers were kind of mixing in there with the American colonies, they took the name Sinterklaas and anglicized it and made it Santa Claus. So there you go. There you go. There's some Trivial Pursuit for you, which you can use at Christmas cocktail parties. The idea of him having a big belly, that was added to the lore in the 19th century. And that's when the red coat showed up as well. So apologies to Bishop Stagliano. Coca-Cola was not behind that. It was not behind the red outfit. Anyways, that's around the time also that the idea of the reindeer, the sleigh, delivering presents on Christmas Eve, that's where that all kind of got cooked up. So there's been some fallout from this, as you might imagine. A lot of complaints to the diocese. They've had to issue a statement. One of the PR people from the diocese said, "On behalf of the bishop, I express my sorrow for this declaration, which has created disappointment in the little ones. And I want to specify that Monsignor Stagliano's intentions were quite different." Okay. But then he decreed consumerism and Santa Claus. So that's that. But by the way, apparently there was sort of a happy ending to this, in the sense that the guy playing Santa Claus did show up at the church in the end with a bag of presents, and the kids were happy in the end, and they allegedly forgot about the bishop's message. I don't know if they did or not. I don't know. But I really want to know how you handle this question, the question of St. Nicholas, as the Dutch would say. How do you deal with this? Is there room for Christ? Do you have to kick Santa Claus out to keep Christ in Christmas? I want to hear from you. 888-914-9149. Let's go to the phones right now. Anna is calling from Miami, Florida. Hello, Anna.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well.
Well, all my life I've grown up Catholic, and, you know, I did the same with my kids. And as kids, we enjoyed, you know, this crazy thing with Santa and going to bed early and the cookies and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
That was a part of it. I remember my mother, with Halloween, we just couldn't dress up as anything scary. But she kept Christ in the center of all of it. And on the 25th of December, we cut a small cake and sang to Jesus, because that was his birthday. So, you know, we just kept it. You know, she was always making sure that we kept it as him being first. And, you know, the Santa thing was fun and everything. And, you know, the story about St. Nick and everything like that. But he was the center, you know, and I did it with my kids. And I don't think you have to substitute one for the other. Clearly, you know, Christ is the reason for all of this. And as long as you make sure, I think, you know, you bring him in as the center of this, the big deal. And then everything else is beautiful. The Christmas tree, the decorating, you know, all of that, and the stories are so wholesome. You know, I think you can do it. I don't think you have to let go.
Okay. Okay. Hey, well, thanks for the call, Anna. I appreciate you calling. That was Anna from Miami, Florida. That was her take on it. We're going to go to David. And where's David calling from, Lucas? David is calling from Chandler, Arizona. Hello, David. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Hello, Cale.
Hi, David.
Thank you. Hi.
Hey.
So I think that you can have you, Santa Claus. You know, I have a 8-year-old, and we teach Christian values. You know, think you can keep both. You know.
Okay.
I don't think it contradicts Christian values.
Okay. All right. So you can keep both, and you see no issue there whatsoever.
No, not really.
Okay.
I mean, I guess I understand the opposition voice, in the sense that, you know, you want to be honest with your children. But, you know, when they're young and it's an imaginary time, it's a happy time, you want them to enjoy as much as possible, and, you know, let their imagination go with that.
Well, thanks for your opinion, David. I really appreciate the call. Thanks for listening to the program. And
I listen every day on the way home.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that. Appreciate being your companion in the car. You call anytime, David. Really appreciate you. Appreciate the listen. Appreciate the call. And you can call in, too, if you have a take on this. 1-888-914-9149. We're going to go to Angel, who's calling from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hello, Angel.
Absolutely. So, first, I want to thank you guys for evangelizing. And here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, you guys have a lot of support. I do want to say that it does depend on the grand scheme of things. I want to say, like, in large populations, as long as the majority of the people or the majority of Christians, the focus is Christ. Of course, ideally, we would want all Christians to have Christ as the focus. But when we're dealing with a population as big as the United States, I think it can be a bit detrimental because it becomes the focus. So when children are away from home, you know, we of course are working on it at home. But when they're away from home at school or in any other setting, a lot of times the focus is not Christ. And that's understandable because not everyone is Christian. But I think we really need to clarify those things for our children at home, you know, make sure that the conversations are being had where we're explaining that some people have other viewpoints, but this is what we believe. Another big point, I agree totally with Anna and the gentleman before me, I forgot his name, that we can have those two things coexist as long as we're practicing having Christ as the focus from the beginning. So not just all month, but all year, of course. In the Latino population, we celebrate what's called the Tres Reyes Magos, the three wise kings. And so that comes a couple of days after Christmas. And so, you know, just keeping that Christian faith tightly tied to the celebration instead of the materialism.
Yeah, that's super important. And Hal, I really want to thank you for the call. We got to take a break right now, but Albuquerque coming through once again. And as Anhel mentioned, a lot of fans of the program, a lot of fans of Relevant Radio out in New Mexico. We appreciate you. A lot of calls coming in right now. There's still a couple lines open if you want to get in. 888-914-9149. Do you have to kick Santa out of Christmas in order to keep Christ in? Want to hear from you on the Cale Clark Show. Be right back. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Feliz Navidad.
All right. Had to give you that brain worm. Feliz Navidad, Jose Feliciano. Once that's in your head, it's not coming out for a long time, which is a good thing. It's a great tune. It's a great tune. And once again, I have to give you the warning label because of what we've been talking about. If you're just tuning in right now, maybe you're in the car, maybe you're on your way home from work, picking up the kids. If there are kids in the car and you don't want them to know certain things about St. Nick, then now's the time to maybe go back to the podcast later on. About an hour after the show, the podcast will be available on relevantradio.com. The Relevant Radio app, wherever you get your podcasts, you can listen to it or put in your Bluetooth headphones, put in your AirPods, because, a lot of kids, we don't necessarily want them to know about this quite yet. But that didn't deter the Bishop of Noto in Sicily, Antonio Stagliano, who has gone viral, maybe for all the right reasons or maybe for all the wrong reasons. He talked to some kids, some young children that came to his parish. And he basically told them that Santa Claus doesn't exist. So people kind of freaked out about that. And we've been talking about that. How do you handle this question with your family? How do you handle the St. Nick question? Does he need to leave Christmas to keep Christ in Christmas? How do you deal with this as a parent? How did you experience this maybe growing up? I want to hear about that too. I'm going to share my own take on this in just a little bit. And how's the Twitter poll going on our show account? I have my personal account, at Cale Clark. You can follow me there. Show account is at Cale Clark Show. Producer Lucas put up a poll on this question. You can go ahead and vote on that. How's it going right now?
So far, 63% are saying no, Santa does not need to be kept out in order for Christ to be kept in. Well, 37 are saying yes.
They're saying stop the steal. This poll is rigged. Yeah. This is wrong. That's what they're saying. And any comments in the Twitter feed on this? Or
actually, yes. Stuart, who identifies as a humanist, actually responded, saying, "While I agree with the bishop that we shouldn't lie to kids if they ask about Santa, there's more than a little hypocrisy in his actions, given the rather far-fetched tales he preaches to his congregants."
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, we've talked about things like this on the program before. We're going to do a lot more of this in the last few days of Advent here leading up to Christmas. The reality of the Christmas story is it's not a story. I hate using the term story because these things actually did happen. Jesus Christ is a real historical person. And yes, this is much stranger and much more wonderful than fiction because it really happened. God became man, the incarnation. It beggars belief, but it did happen. And there's some facts to back this up. And lots of credible evidence for Jesus outside of his biographies in the Gospels. Secular historians wrote about Jesus and the fact that he was a miracle worker. We're talking about people like Tacitus, people like Josephus, people like Lucian of Samosata, a lot of ancient historians. You can actually reconstruct pretty much the entire life of Christ from secular or non-biblical sources. If all the New Testaments in the world got zapped up to the Starship Enterprise, we wouldn't be in any doubt about the main facets of Jesus' life. So I understand why people say that. And I do think they need to look more deeply into the evidence. But I appreciate the question. I appreciate the tweet. And inquiring minds do really want to know about this. But how do you, back to the question at hand, how do you handle this? How do you handle the Santa question? 888-914-9149 is the number to call toll-free. And we're going to go to the phones right now. Jim is calling from Front Royal, Virginia, the home of Christendom College. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Cale. Thanks for taking my call. It's good to talk to you again.
Yeah, absolutely. Good to have you on again. What's your take on this?
Right. So we are Byzantine Catholics, and St. Nicholas is our patron saint. He's an incredibly important historical character. So raising our kids, of course, we taught them about St. Nicholas, you know, the man. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not be an Aryan who will punch you in the eye. So,
I love that.
Yeah. And I know your call screener wanted me to be, you know, succinct, and I will be, but I could probably go on, like, I could do a whole show with you. But, you know, we kind of took the approach that, look, we're going to tell our kids this incredible, amazing, hard-to-believe story that the king, creator of the universe, came to the world as a little tiny baby. And we kind of felt like that's our one shot to tell them something that's, like, really unbelievable. And we want them to believe it. I don't want to, you know, kind of use my political capital, so to speak, by telling them two stories that are unbelievable and tell them, well, one you should believe and the other one I was just I was just joking around.
Yeah, you know, Jim, so, Jim, I like the way you put that. I like the way you put that. That's perfectly put. And that's, I was going to share a little bit. Let me just jump in right here and maybe you could even react to this a little bit yourself, Jim. That was kind of my thing growing up, that once, now this isn't true for everybody. But for me, when I found out about Santa Claus, well, the first thing I did was I told my sister, which kind of ruined everything for her. But when I found out about this, I actually had, that caused me to have major doubts about Jesus, because I thought, well, if this isn't real, well, maybe that isn't either. And what else are my parents not telling me the truth? You know, that sort of thing, right? So now I know that not everybody reacts like that, but it did cause a lot of seeds of doubt about Christianity to be planted in my mind, which, I don't know, to me it kind of had a negative effect when I found out about St. Nick. Let's put it that way. So I think that's kind of where you're coming from, Jim, on this too.
It is. You know, as Christians, we are all about you know, the king of truth, right? And how do we back up telling our kids about the king of truth by telling them something not true?
It's a fair question. And some people want to say, well, what about the magic? You know, what about all this sort of stuff? And that's another thing that I struggle with too as a parent, because, and again, I'm not saying this is the answer to the question, because my wife kind of disagrees with me about this, but I don't want to create any seeds of doubt as a parent that you can't trust me, that, you know, you as a kid can't trust me. What else am I not telling you about? So I don't know. I'm trying to figure all this out myself. So I appreciate your perspective on this, Jim. I really appreciate the call. And how are things in Front Royal? The big cathedral's going up there, right?
Yeah, it's looking pretty awesome. I'm a alumni of the college, so I'm looking forward to the inaugural mass.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have a friend that works down there, and a very frequent guest on the program, great friend of the program, Steve Weidenkopf. who teaches church history mm-hmm. there and has written some incredible books. He was just on the show the other day. So Christendom College, we're great friends, Relevant Radio and Christendom College. And yeah, it is amazing to see this great cathedral that's going up there in Front Royal, Virginia. And if you haven't seen it, you need to go to the website. You need to Google some images of this thing. It is impressive. It is impressive. So, Jim, hey, great to hear from you, man. Call anytime.
Great. I have a real quick show request for you.
Sure. Okay. Hit me with it.
So in the Byzantine Church, January 6th is the Epiphany of Our Lord, the uh-huh. institution of baptism. Mm-hmm. But on the Western side, it's a celebration of three kings. We don't get that. So I'd love to hear a big show just on
what are the three things? What are the three things in the West?
No, the three kings.
Oh, the three kings. I thought you said three. Yeah, I should have known that. The three kings. Three kings of Orient.
Yeah,
don't get me started.
I kind of felt like, you know, the institution of baptism was kind of a bigger deal. So
okay,
I don't understand
that's
how
a great
that
idea.
Occurred. So I'd love to hear a show on that one.
Hey, Jim, you know, I'll take you up on that. That's a great request. I appreciate you. So, Jim, call anytime. That was Jim from Front Royal, Virginia, with his take on the matter at hand. Going to go now to the Rocky Mountains in Denver. Jeff in Denver, welcome to the show.
Okay, thank you, sir. I first of all, I don't have, especially what you just said, kind of, I don't know what the right thing is, really, but mm-hmm. I grew up with the understanding that this was very much in line, Santa Claus, not only just because of St. Nick, feast day December 6th, but then also in a deeper spiritual sense of sort of a foreshadowing for as we grow into adults to one, scripturally speaking, come to Christ like children, and to come, and part of that, I think, would be to really come to God with this view, with innocence as a child, looking for some something unbelievable, a God of mercy and kindness and generosity to give us things, gifts that we don't deserve. Mm. And so I always kind of understood it that way. I think primarily it's always going to still come down to the parents and teaching your kids and just, you know, aligned with the tradition maybe that I do in at least my home. Not that I have kids yet, or we'll see what God does with that. But yeah. That I don't
pray
take down the Christmas decorations until yeah, thank you. I sure would need them. But that we keep the decorations up until, you know, the kings, the three kings,
okay.
You know, and to make sure that your kids, like the other woman said, her mom made a cake on the 21st. It's those little beautiful things that as parents, I think you can teach your kids the deepness and the beauty of the faith. And I think Santa Claus, in that sense, for children, the bewilderment, the delight can bring this kind of joy towards God. I know for me, thinking of just the Christmas lights in the house with everything else turned off, the mystery and the beauty, the glow, the warmth of the Christmas tree, and how I think of that often during Christmas, and it draws my heart to the Lord. So I can see
beautiful.
It could go either way, but I think it ultimately comes down to the parents and what they teach their kids, you know?
Yeah.
I would like to ask, though, I understood that idea was something in the church, and the church taught, in a sense of this lying to your kids was kind of a foreshadowing of the whole deeper meaning of to really believe, of really faith, to know God without any, you know, with trust, you know, with faith.
Well, I think it's faith based on facts and evidence, where it's not necessarily a blind leap into the dark, and that's a thing. Like, you know, Christ has left literal footprints in this world, and this isn't some it is hard to believe in a certain sense, but it's also not in another sense, because God could do this. He could become man, and he did. And so, but I do appreciate the call, Jeff. Really,
listen,
really appreciate that. I got to, go ahead, real quick.
Do you mind if I say one thing on that?
Sure, absolutely.
Sure, I just say, as a journalist, I think objectively there is truth of God for sure, but then the devil comes to give us doubt, and in a sense that way, in our doubt, to have that belief beyond belief, you know? And no, I agree. Christ was a historical figure. I believe objectively there's evidence he's God in my own mind, but in a man's conscience for sure. But yeah, thank you.
Hey, you got it, Jeff. Thanks for the call. I appreciate you. Great call from Jeff. And one of the things Jeff was sort of saying was that, you know, and I agree with him, that there are a variety of perspectives on this. And I don't know if there's one right answer to this, how you handle this situation. And obviously parents, the church teaches, are the primary educators of their children. And it's kind of, you know, you are the boss when it comes to how you want to handle the situation. as long as you don't obviously denigrate any aspects of Catholic truth. So it's a vexing question for a lot of people, and the phone lines are lit up right now, 888-914-9149. We do have a couple lines open if you want to get in on this. How do you handle the Santa question? Does Santa need to exit Christmas for Christ to be kept in? I want to know what you think. We're going to go to Whittier, California now on the West Coast. Savannah is on the line. Hello, Savannah.
Hi, Kale. How are you?
I'm well. I'm very well.
Good.
How are you?
So I'm well. I'm in traffic on the 105 freeway.
Oh, well, glad to keep you company.
Yes, always. So I just wanted to put my insight in on this, and it actually got brought up at my house the other day with my daughter coming home. Mind you, my daughter's 5, and she's in kindergarten, and she came home the other day and said, "Mommy, one of my classmates told me that Santa's not real." Mm. And I froze, and I kind of looked at my husband
really?
I don't know what to say.
Yeah, is that right?
But I came up with something that, you know, was kind of interesting. I mean, and considering that she's so little, she doesn't really understand a lot of things and like things like that. And, you know, me not really going to church too much as a child, and, you know, I'm actually a convert to the Catholicism faith, and undergoing my RCIA program at St. Gregory the Great in Whittier. Anyhow, I came up with this thing just right off the top of my head, and I was like, oh my gosh, thank you, God, you saved me with this one. But I just told her, I said, well, you know, I wouldn't listen to the little girl because you don't know where she's getting the information from. I said, but I said, we have Santa bring us presents because it's the birth of Jesus, and Santa brings us presents so that we can celebrate Jesus' birthday with him. And she just kind of looked at me and was like, oh, okay, so that's why we celebrate Christmas, because it's Jesus' birthday. And I said, yes. And she goes, oh, okay, great. So now we have to make Jesus a cake. And I said, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a great little tradition. you could start that.
It was kind of fun, you know, how I did that but I mean, gosh, being put on the spot like that, I was like, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, sometimes you just have to whisper a prayer to the Holy Spirit, and that was a little tough jam that you found yourself in. And very often that is the case, that kids talk to other kids, and they find out sometimes from older kids about things like this. And hey, Savannah, I appreciate the call, and glad to be with you and everybody else driving, stuck on a freeway in California or wherever you may be right now. Maybe you're already at home. Maybe you are in the car. Maybe you're at work. Wherever you are, glad you're here with us. Thanks, Savannah. Drive safe out there. Merry Christmas to you. God bless you. Call anytime. And you can call in too, 888-914-9149. I remember just kind of one thing along these lines. I had posted on my Twitter page, and I was kind of putting a little ad for the show out, a little image of Santa kneeling down before the Christmas crib, worshiping the infant Christ. I kind of, when I was during my time away from the Catholic Church, when I became a Protestant minister, obviously I'm back now, I did play the role of Santa in a Christmas play, and that's what I did at the end. I kind of came out, did this. I was about 125 pounds at the time, so I was the slim, fast Santa. I look a little bit more like the traditional image of Saint Nick now, let's put it that way. But that's what I did. Kind of at the end of the skit, I took off my cap and knelt down by the crib. And so keeping Christ the focus, even if Santa is involved, it's sometimes tricky, but it can be done. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show. We'll be right back with more of your calls, 888-914-9149. Today's programming is brought to you by St. Gregory Recovery Center in Iowa. More information about their faith-centered addiction treatment is available at relevantradio.com/stgregory.
This is The Cale Clark Show, giving you the confidence you need to bring the faith into everyday life.
Welcome back to the program. Once again, warning sticker on this last segment of the show. We're talking about Santa. So if you have little kids nearby hanging out by the radio, hanging out by your smartphone, go to Bluetooth or cover their ears and say, nah, 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 do what you have to do. Because we're talking about the reality of the clause, as it were. And there was a New York Times article that came out today. It's been elsewhere on the net as well. It kind of went viral. A Catholic bishop, Antonio Stagliano, in Sicily, insisted in Sicily that there is no Santa. And he did this in front of a bunch of kids who were just about to get a visit from jolly old St. Nick. So I kind of spoiled that one. But was it a good thing? Ought he have to, what am I trying to say? Did he do the right thing? Basically is what I'm trying to ask. And I want to hear from you. How do you handle this question in your own families with kids? 888-914-9149. We have a priest on the line. Not too often that we get a priest calling in, but we're going to go to Father Joe, who is in Bayhead, New Jersey. Father Joe, welcome to the show. What's your take on all this?
Well, my take as a pastor is that I don't think you bring the two together in Santa kneeling at the crib, because again, later you're trying to distinguish fact from story that's not totally true. So I don't think it's a good idea to mix Santa in the crib with little ones for that reason. Okay. But I do think that other suggestions that, you know, you tell about Jesus and the birthday, and then you transition into the story of Saint Nicholas, which ends up you just make the translation to Santa Claus. And you say that's where we get the traditions that we have now.
Okay. All right. So kind of emphasizing the historicity of Saint Nicholas and the Santa Claus legend being based off of that, and kind of go with that as a catechetical approach. Okay. Yeah, that's
right.
Probably
just
what you've done, I guess, throughout your...
The little ones can still imagine, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's what you've done, obviously, I guess, as a pastor throughout your career. And did you get questions about this from families? Like, how do I handle this? Did you ever get that question?
No, I've never had questions like that, but I have experienced an 18-year-old who still believed in Santa Claus.
Oh, really? So, wow.
I was sort of surprised, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, that is surprising.
Again,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, hey, well, Father Joe, thank you for calling in. God bless you. God bless you.
And thank you.
And I hope you have a very happy and holy rest of Advent and a very Merry Christmas. And call anytime.
You too.
Okay, God bless. That was Father Joe from Bayhead, New Jersey, calling in, talking about how he approached this from a pastoral angle, from a priest perspective. And it's kind of good to get that perspective. If you want to call in, 888-914-9149. We're going to go to Teresa in Bakersfield, California now. Hey, Teresa.
Hi. Thanks for
Hello.
Having me.
You're most welcome. You're most welcome. What do you think?
Well, actually, I was pretty fortunate. I didn't have any of those scary moments as a kid where you learn Santa doesn't exist. My dad, he always believed in telling us the truth in everything, and he taught us our faith very strongly. So he always told us the true story of Santa Claus, which was the story of Saint Nicholas.
Right.
And he always made it like a very good thing. Like, look, this is how great our faith is. You know, we have the story of Saint Nicholas, and he was a real person that actually existed. And this is what he did. And this is why we have the pretend story of Santa Claus. And so I always appreciated that as a kid growing up. So when I had children of my own, I did the same thing. I would tell my daughter the story of St. Nicholas and how that's really Santa Claus, but St. Nicholas existed. And every year on St. Nicholas Day, I would do something special with her. I would either read this. I got a children's story of St. Nicholas, and I would either read that, or I also own the CCC movie, The Boy Who Would Become Santa.
Okay.
And we would watch
that
on St. Nicholas Day.
Oh, okay.
And I would make cocoa and popcorn, and St. Nicholas would leave something underneath the tree. And I always told her it was from St. Nicholas.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, she grew up she always loved that. And she always looked forward to St. Nicholas Day.
Okay. Well, thanks for the call, Teresa. I appreciate you sharing that and sharing about your dad and how he was always hey, the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. He wasn't going to sugarcoat it. He laid it out there. And that's kind of, you know, all things being equal, that's the approach that I would like to take. But listen, this isn't marriage counseling or anything, but my wife Patricia kind of like wants to, you know, keep the magic of Santa, and I'm like kind of like ah. So, but hey, I have to keep the peace in my own home, right? So that's part of it. So we're gonna go to Jackie now in Windsor Locks, Connecticut. Hey, Jackie, we got about 2 minutes here. What are your thoughts on this? Oh, okay, Jackie is no longer with us. She's still out there somewhere. We're gonna go to. What do you think, Lucas? We're going to go to Emmalou. Emmalou from California. Hello, Emmalou. We've got about a minute and a half here. What are your thoughts on this, Emmalou?
I think it's very upsetting that it would be the media would be the one to tell a child. I was sick.
That's a good point.
I was at home. I'm 77 years old. I was at home sick. I was laying on the couch in the living room when the news came on, and it was the news person was Gabriel Heater, and okay. He said, "Parents, it's about time you tell your children there is no Santa Claus." Huh. And I screamed for my mother, and she came running in from the kitchen, and she said, "What's the matter?" And I said, "You know what he just said? He said there wasn't a Santa Claus." And my mother gave me a hug, and she said, "Now I had a brand new baby sister." Emmalou, you're going to have to keep that a secret so our baby doesn't know about it.
And you were 7 at the time, Emmalou.
I was 7. So here I'm adding a little stuff that's probably not appropriate. But the first time I ever got drunk, I screamed, "I hate Gabriel Heater." And everybody went, "What? I hate Gabriel Heater." And they said, "Why do you hate Gabriel Heater?" I said, "Because he's the one who told me there was no Santa Claus."
Okay. Well, so that obviously stuck with you. That obviously stuck with you for quite some time. And
it still does. It's like, no, that's not. My children believed until they didn't believe, and they figured out.
You know, Emmalou, I got to tell you, Emmalou, I got to jump in here because we're up against the clock. But I really want to thank you for that call. And I do like one of the things that you said there, which was basically that kids should probably hear this from their parents, whatever it may be. It's good if they hear it from you first. I think that there's something to be said for that. I do think there, no matter what approach you take on this, it might be good for you to be, as the parent, the person who does break the news, right? Because if you want to take that approach, if you want to, you know, take the pro Santa approach, you may have to be the one to pay the piper in the end. I don't know. So lots of great chatter on this. Lots of great conversation. I want to thank everybody who called in today. Unfortunately, we are out of time. I wish I could keep going with this. So if you did call in, please call back tomorrow. We could still go back to this topic tomorrow. Or if you want to talk about something else, we'll have lots of other fun things to talk about. Believe me, I've got some real surprises for you tomorrow. Some really interesting discoveries, which I'm not going to spill the beans on this. But you're going to want to tune in tomorrow because you will not believe what has been dug up. And I'm going to share it with you. I'm going to give you the inside scoop tomorrow on the Gale Clark Show. 888-914-9149. Don't forget to call tomorrow. And hey, stay tuned for Timory, Family Rosary Across America, The Faith Explained, 12:30 Central tomorrow. I'll be back then. And the Gale Clark Show tomorrow night. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.